So on both sides, we're going to start the Masechta Megillah. The plan, if it works out, would be to begin the Masechta and finish the Masechta. And although I've learned parts of Megillah in the past, but it's a folkba va folkba. Every time you see something new, I want to give two introductions. One introduction, just to sort of touch the surface of something that's very, very profound and needs a lot of work. Masechta Megillah is kol chula derabbanan. There's no mitzvah d'oraisa here in Masechta Megillah. Erevin, for example, is 90% derabbanan, but there are d'oraisa halachas in Erevin. And that makes Megillah a unique Masechta. Truth be told, that there are many other sugyas in Shas that deal with the Rabbanos. We have sugyas in Chulin that deal with Netilas Yadayim. We have sugyas in Shabbos that deal with Mukta, with Chanukah. We're going to learn about it And the question I want to raise with you is, are we being the kind of mitzvah d'oraisa of Mishinantam Levanech of Talmud Torah when we study a mitzvah which is completely derabbanan? So you could always say that sometimes derabbanan are also elevated to a status of d'oraisa. But that's a little bit challenging to say in this case. Eric?
Eric, yes.
Good to see you. And you brought your gemara. That's good. So you want to sit here if you don't mind?
Or?
And if you can make a bar mitzvah zonus here. Have in mind my foolish name for my mother-in-law. Her name is Dvorah Chana Bas Ratza. We had an issue in our family when Ratza passed away, my wife's grandmother, because it didn't seem that here in the modern state of Israel that the name Ratza would fly, if you know what I mean. So at that time we spoke to her of Eliezer Lippman Cohen. He was the final word in America on Gittin. And if you know anything about Hilchus Gittin, it's all about Seamus. You know, 90% of Hilchus Gittin is about Seamus. So we asked him, what name should we give our daughter, in memory of Ratza? So she said Raya, Reish Ayin Yud Hei, which is a pasuk in Shir Hashir, Rayosi. Anyway, Eric, I want to introduce you. This is John. This is Jerry. This is Asher. This is Eric. So I heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, he used to say over and over again that even when you study a mitzvah d'rabbanan, like Chanukah, like Megillah, you're makayim a mitzvah d'oraisa of Talmud Torah, and it doesn't even fall short by a hair's breadth to studying a parsha in the Torah. For example, Masechta Brachos is heavily d'rabbanan, but yet we start with Kriyat Shema. Whoops. And Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Mishinan Tov Levanecha, correct? So there is a Doraisa in Masechta Brachos, for sure. But it's irrelevant. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of Torah study, applies to a mitzvah Darabanan no less than it applies to a mitzvah Doraisa. And he used to say it in his own brisker jargon. He used to say that a mitzvah d'rabbanan is also a cheftish al Torah. That's what he used to say. So as I said at the outset, that's a very profound subject that we have to discuss. The second introduction is, let's read a few of the psukim in Megillas Esther. And these psukim indicate that Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves what we call Kimu v'Kiblu Aleihem, 2 days of Purim, the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar. And the first sugya that we're going to study in Mitzvah Shem, starting with the Mishnah, deals with the possibility of adding other days besides the 14th and the 15th. In fact, the Mishnah is going to add another 3 days that's going to jack us up to the number 5. And there are 5 different days of Purim. And the big question that we're going to have to raise and address is, how could the Chachamim add new days of Purim. The Mishnah has the 11th of Adar, the 12th of Adar, the 13th of Adar. So at least the Megillah speaks about the 14th and the 15th. So let me just take a minute of your time to read to you the Psukim in Megillah's Esther.
Okay, at least John, you're consistent.
Yeah, the same one.
Just joking.
So it says the following. This is at the very end of Megillah's Esther. Halkein, as a result of this great miracle, Hayehudim haprozim hayoshvim biare haprozos. Okay, we have to discuss what are haprozos are. Let's just say they're open cities that are not walled cities, just to give a general, a vague definition. Osim es yom arbasar lachodesh adar. So they set up the 14th of the month of Adar. Simcha u'mishte v'yontif u'mishloach monos ish l'reyeh. So we have here the following elements. We have simcha, we have mishteh, so we have to know the difference between simcha and mishteh, because in the Megillah there's two separate terms. V'yontif, what does that mean, yontif? I mean, you just told me it's the day of simcha and mishteh. Usually yontif means isur malacha. There's no isur malacha on Purim. Again, it's a minhag to abstain from malacha, but it's not an isur per se. Those are the two classical mitzvahs. So we have here the 14th of Adar. And then the Torah goes on in Tanakh, again, this is one of the 24 holy books of Tanakh, and it says, L'kayim aleihem es yimei apurim elu kayyomim asher nachu bohem hayehudim me'oyveihem. Oh, now the Pasuk says, asher nachu hayehudim. In other words, they fought the battle against which nation? Amalek. Correct? And the whole Megillah is all about Amalek. That's why we have the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek before Purim. And Nachum Me'oveihem. And then they had a day of rest. On that day of rest, they established that day as a day of Mishta, Simcha, Yontif, etc., etc. Day of Purim. But the Megillah says it was not just Yom Arbasar L'chodesh Adar, Ve'es Yom Chamish Asar Bo, and the 15th of Adar as well. Why? Kasher Nachu Bohem HaYehudim Me'oyveihem. Now, who rested on the 14th, and who rested on the 15th? On the 14th was the Arei HaProzos. In other words, they completed their battle on the 13th, they rested on the 14th, they established the 14th as the day of Purim. But in Shushan, they had an extra day to battle against their enemies. And therefore, their day of Chanoya, of resting, was on the 15th of Adar. But again, as I said at the outset, there are two Zmanim over here. There's the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar. Please, 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 yes. Have it wind my mother-in-law for a foolish limb if you can. And the 15th of Adar. There's no mention of the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. So here we have to introduce what's called the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. I mean, in English they translate it as the men of the great assembly. And the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah added 3 days. Now here's a very simple mathematical question for you. Did they add the 3 days before the 2 days of Purim or after the 2 days of Purim? And what's the obvious answer? No, again, they added 11, 12, and 13. Oh, you mean to say historically.
Historically.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, you're right, it's my lack of time. What I meant to ask is, There are two logical possibilities. If you're adding days, if the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah decided to add days, they could have added days before Purim or after Purim. And the Gemara is going to deal with this on Daf Beis on the Beis to see why they were banned and they couldn't add days after Purim, you know, post Heshvan. Although the Gemara does raise such a possibility, they had 3 days, the 16th, 17th, and 18th of Adar. That's a serious possibility. But rather, they added the 11th and 12th.
Which
goes where to?
Manhattan. And I remember there was one of the buses had a meeting where they would refrain from talking the 3 days before and the 3 days after, because it was mentioned in the...
You knew it was mostly Hasidim on the one side.
You might be a bus in some day.
So let's just set the pattern here. So Masechta Megillah is addressing, number one, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, the first thing of which is the 5 days on which we read the Megillah. And then in the second parak, and later on in the third parak, the Gemara is going to address the other mitzvahs of Purim besides Megillah's Esther.
The 3 days before, you have Tanis Esther.
Excellent question. So Eric is asking, how do you integrate a Tainus, a Yom Tainus, with a Yom of Kriya Samigil? Intuitively, I'm inclined to think that question itself proves that really the 11th, 12th, and 13th are not days of Purim. So for example, we're going to see that the 11th, 12th, and 13th were added for the Bnei Akfarim. Okay, who are the Bnei Akfarim? So we have three categories. We have the Prozim. Right, these are the urban dwellers, the city slickers, but they live in an open city. Then we get to the level of what's called Krochim, Hamukafim Choma. These are the big cities that were walled. And in the first case of Prozim, we're going to celebrate Purim on the 14th. In the second case of the Krochim, on the 15th. And then we have the Bnei Akfar. These were the villages. And the Gemara is going to establish that the day for Kriyas HaMegillah on behalf of the villagers is going to be what's called the Yom HaKnisa. That's the key phrase here that we have to learn. And that term, Yom HaKnisa, which literally means the day in which they gather together, has something to do with the takana of Ezra. Because Ezra established that on 2 days of the week in the cities, they would set up a bezdin kavua, and anyone who had some sort of an issue that he had to take in front of a court, for example, let's say he was suing someone for damages, it would be on a Monday or on a Thursday. Those are the days of bezdin kavua. So on those 2 days, they used to read the Torah publicly. All this is part of Takanas Ezra. We made it. We'll get to Takanas Ezra. And I'm going to ask you a historical question. Who came first? Mordechai and Esther or Ezra? Mordechai and Esther. Ezra's later. So the fascinating thing is that our Mishnah, based on the Takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, you establish 3 days of Purim before Yudalad and Tesvah, for the sake of Takanas Ezra. But Takanas Ezra doesn't exist at the time of the Megillah. So there's a very, very interesting development over here, because as far as the Megillah is concerned, we only have 2 days, the 14th and the 15th, right? Let me just finish 1 second answer, because I don't lose my train of thought. However, at a later period of time, Ezra is going to make takanos about Bezdin, about Kriyas HaTorah. We're going to set up what's called the Yom HaKnisa. The Kfarim are going to gather from the villages into the cities. That's all post Ezra. That's what it's Ezra. So that doesn't reflect itself in the Megillah. So the good news is I begin to understand why the Megillah only has 2 days for reading the Megillah. But the bad news is, how then can we, in a sense, undermine what the Megillah itself says? The Megillah itself says 2 days. And now you can establish another 3 days. And not only that, the Gemara is going to try to find in the Megillah itself some sort of a, for lack of a better term, a remez, an allusion to the extra days. Of course, it says Zmaneihem in a plural, and we're going to see all the drushes. I mean, that's going to be a lot of heavy work that we have to do. We have to sift through those drushes. But those drushes don't seem to make any sense, because those drushes are based on the concept of Yom HaKnisa, which is only generated by Ezra with his later takanos. So how can the Megillah itself have an allusion to these extra days of Purim? Okay, now I say the Purim, I'm not sure if the days of Purim. As Eric asked, how could you have a day which is called the Titus and a day of Purim or Mishnah Mesir? The answer might be that these are days of Kriyas HaMegillah, but not days of Purim. So we're going to isolate. We're going to take apart Purim into two different categories. There's the category of Mitzvahs Megillah, and then there's the other category that includes all the other mitzvahs. So it could be that one of these villagers who came in the Yom HaKnisa would hear the Megillah reading on Yom HaKnisa, which is, let's say, Yud Aleph and Beis Yud Gimel, and the mission is going to work out all the mathematics. When is it Yud Aleph? When is it Yud Beis? When is it Yud Gimel? However, as far as the other mitzvahs of Purim are concerned, that they could fulfill in their village back home, whether it's Mishloach Manos, Matanos of Yonin, whether it be Tainus Esther, fasting on Esther, all this they're going to fulfill on the right day. And then there's going to be a discussion, what is that day? It's the 14th or the 15th, because they don't fit into either category. They're not prosim, and they're not mukafi. Good. Correct. So it makes sense that at the time of Mordechai, they already established this takana. But the only problem is the logic for the takana is generated by a historical injunction that was made by Ezra later on. So how's Mordechai doing this?
When did Ezra get the idea from the takana? Maybe it's from the answer in Ezra's Gedolah.
You want to set it the other way around. I think Ezra was interested in making sure that everyone would hear the Torah read publicly.
Moshe Rabbeinu established
reading the Torah on Shabbos, and Ezra added Mondays and Thursdays. So the takana of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur predates Ezra. The takana of Yom Sheni and Yom Chamishi, which is called Yom HaKnisa, that's already Ezra and beyond. But yet, already at the time of the Anshin Nesagdol, including Mordechai, they established these extra 2 days because of Yom HaKnisa. But Yom HaKnisa didn't evolve until the time of Ezra. And the Gemara didn't derive that their psukim in the Megillah itself that indicate the extra 3 days. So it's a very strange kind of. It's almost as if we're dealing here with Ruach HaKodesh. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, the reason befall in actuality for Yom HaKnisa is going to come later in history, but yet already with their insight, and it's all alluded to in the Megillah itself, there's going to be an extra 3 days.
Wouldn't they, if you lived in the villages, if you lived in the outer villages, there would probably be a couple of days, a day or 2 a week, that's your kind of market day. So you go in, whether it was Monday or Thursday, even if that wasn't established. So it could be that the remez is to the fact that it's about Kriyas Megillah, the day that everyone gathers, which would happen to be the day that.
So this is going to be a big issue. What is Yom HaKnisa? There are three possibilities. One possibility is Yom HaKnisa is because of the market. The other possibility is Yom HaKnisa is because of Kriyas HaTorah. And the third possibility, which the Gemara seems to assume, is it's because of Bezin. Not because of Kriyas HaTorah, but because these are days in which Bezin. So we'll see if we can integrate all these different.
That's why the Bezin don't choose those days, too.
Correct. So what I'd like to do now is learn the Mishnah, and we'll try to work out the mathematics here. When is it Yud Aleph? When is it Yud Beis? When is it Yud Gimel? And the Mishnah says the following: Megillah Nikres. Now that itself, the first two words of the Mishnah, are very strange, because when we talk about a mitzvah, we usually use an active verb in the command state, in a blushing sivu. For example, the first Mishnah Shah says what? Who remembers? Name is like Korin es Hashma. Korin is an active verb, and you're obligated to read. The Mishnah adds Me'emesai, when are you obligated in Mishosh HaKodesh, Mignosin, etc., etc. Here the Mishnah should have said Korin es HaMegillah, or the Ezezman Korin es HaMegillah, so forth. But instead it says Megillah Nikris. So that's a very interesting language in Megillah Nikris. It could be that what the Mishnah is hinting to here, I'm just thinking out loud with you, is that the main thing is that we have to establish days for the reading of the Megillah. The Megillah has to be read. For example, who is obligated with the Mitzvah Megillah? I want to throw this out as an open question. We're going to get to this later on in the Mishnah. Is it you? Is it me? Is it a Yachid? Or is it the entire Tzibur? I'm going to see something very fascinating, that with regard to your Aleph, your Beis, and your Gimel, the extra days, you require a Tzibur. It's got to be Bifnei Asar. So therefore, you cannot use the word Korin as a Megillah, because Korin indicates a Chovas Yachid. For example, Korin es Hashma. But in the case of Megillah, at least with regard to the extra days, there's no Chovas Yachid. And if you know, is that clear? That you need a minion, it's a Chovas Tzibur, and therefore the Mishnah could not use the terminology Korin. I have a suspicion that there are two mitzvahs in Megillah, but I have to develop this idea, that there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah, and there's a mitzvah that the Megillah should be read. Okay, that's something that I want to develop. So what does the Mishnah say? Bacharasar, Bishneimasar, Bishloshasar, Barbasar, Bichamishasar. So we have 5 days, starting from 11, and culminating with the 15th. Okay. Now, if I ask you which group is obligated on which day, what would you start with? What would be your first group? Because that's the group that encompasses the majority of Israel.
Yudalid.
And what's this group called?
Prazim.
Excellent. So Prazim means Paruz. Paruz usually means something that's spread out. In other words, when there's a city that's walled, then people live what we call in Hebrew bimarukas, you know, in a concentrated area. But when there are no walls, people are spread out all over. Now, from a security position, which is better? To sit, if you have a Jewish city that's walled, obviously that's more secure. And that puts a city that's walled on a higher level of kedusha. For example, there's a parasha in the Torah and a whole sugya in Erechim of called Bate Ore Choma, Asher Lo Choma. And if it has a wall and people can sit and live and dwell in security, that adds a certain sanctity to the city. You know, so, for example, I don't know your position on Zionism, but if, let's say, you're a Zionist and you want to be a religious Zionist, so you'd ask yourself the question, what halachic status does the IDF have? Right? Chayalim in Savah. And the answer is, they add a sanctity to the land of Israel. Why? Because they guarantee us security. When I say guarantee, obviously, in inverted commas, as they say. So in other words, there's something called an Iru Kefes Chom. Now, what was the status of Shushan? It was Mukefes Chom, correct? And Shushan is therefore called a Krach. Now again, I'm not sure exactly what the translation of the word krach is. I think that literally the word krach means a large city. But from Masechta Megillah, the word krach takes on a different meaning. It's not a matter of a large urban center, it's a matter of a walled urban center. So the word krach, for our purposes, is a term that's used exclusively for a walled city. Now, if I were to ask you, why was Shushan as a walled city singled out for celebrating Purim on the 15th, the answer would be what, as we said earlier? Because they were fighting for another day, and they didn't rest until the 15th. So therefore, if let's say we want to use Shushan as our paradigm case of a krach that celebrates Purim and reads the Megillah on the 15th, what other kinds of cities would fit into that category would read on the 15th? What would you say, for example, about Tveria?
Well, didn't fight on the 14th.
Oh, so the answer is that there was no, as far as we know, there was no
other city.
Yeah, so Tveria, it's very interesting. Tveria, I'm not sure if it's the Tveria of the day, of today, I mean, that's the archaeologists are working on this, but the Tveria back in the day that was walled at the time of Yoshua ben Nun. And what we're going to see here is that the status of a city vis-a-vis Purim, meaning whether or not it's a crop, Mukefas Choma for 15 or not, depends upon whether it was Mukaf Choma back at the time of Yoshua Ben Nun. And that's a hell. That really defies human logic, because after all, if we're establishing the 15th based on Shushan, then talk to me about other cities that were walled at the time of Shushan. Don't tell me that it was walled way back in the time of Yeshua ben Nun.
Maybe that's, as you said before, it's talked about cities that have a special kedusha, and what cities would maintain all the walled cities that Yeshua conquered. There's a special kedusha for Yeshua, so you could. That's where you could.
So if you're in Yericho, for example, you're not going there to play, to gamble, but you're going to Yericho in order to celebrate Purim.
And you would have
Yericho would be, again, if you could determine where the ancient Yericho
is.
The Meretz Hashem. So that would be on the 15th. And there are a whole bunch of cities that would fit into. There are a lot of spakers, we don't know exactly what was walled and where it's located.
So from the time. We have that problem as well. Exactly. The wall was and where
exactly.
The city was.
It
wasn't even where the walled city is today.
So you have to know.
Do both.
This will have to stay.
There it goes.
But here I would ask you a question, and this, the Ramban has a long introduction to Masechta Megillah, and his focal point is this question about the Mos Yoshua ben Nun. So he claims, not the way we said it about Kedusha, but he claims that the threat of Amalek at the time of Purim was even greater in Eretz Yisrael than it was in Shushan. In other words, the enemies of the Jewish people, once Achashverosh signed the decree, they jumped on the bandwagon. This is an excellent opportunity to destroy the community, the Jewish communities in Eretz Yisrael. And even though there were large populations in Shushan, not only in Shushan, but I mean in all of Paras of Mardai, but nevertheless there were many, many Jews that lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they were exposed to danger to an even greater extent than the people in Paras of Mardai. They had no method of self-defense. The only thing that they could possibly rely on is the fact that they lived in walled cities. Again, a few specific cities. So Ramban basically wants to suggest that the celebration of Purim should reflect the severity of the danger and the greatness of the miracle. And if the miracle was experienced not only in Paras Umadai, but also in the land of Israel, because as a result of this great miracle, that the decree of Achashverosh was abolished, was nullified, the people of Israel survived. They have an obligation to celebrate Purim even more, so to speak, than Paras Umadai. So we know that I'm going to try to quote to you different pieces in this Ramban. It's a very long Ramban, but the bottom line is that he identifies the cities that were walled at the time of Yoshua because the entire process of Hodah, thanking God for Hashem, for the miracle, has to do with Eretz Yisrael, not just with Paras Umadai. And in order to, so to speak, emphasize and wave the flag of Eretz Yisrael, therefore they chose Mukefes Choma, the Krachim, our walled cities from the time of Yoshua. Because this gives us a focus on Eretz Yisrael, so we shouldn't think that Eretz Yisrael is outside of the danger zone, so to speak. And therefore,
you could kind of get that answer to the return to Eretz Yisrael, because it was all because of Esther's son was the then
right. They invited the Jewish people to come back and to establish a base on
without.
Right. So even though the Ness of Purim is in Chutzlaret, the Gemara is going to, Dav Zayin is going to offer that as one of the explanations why there's no Hallel on Purim. But nevertheless, the Ramban points out that this Ness had reverberated and had tremendous repercussions in the land of Israel as well. Okay, so now we have ear, an ear parus. Parus means it's an open city. It doesn't have a choma around it. It's not surrounded by a wall. And for all those cities, they established Purim on the 14th of Nisan, because that was the day that the people of Parasumadai rested after the battle against Amalek. Then we go on to Krachim Amukafim Choma, and now we're talking about cities that are walled. And the Mishnah is going to tell us that Mimos Yoshua ben Nun, if these cities were walled at the time that Joshua conquered the land, even though now they don't have a wall, is Korin b'chamishas. Then they read on the 15th. Okay? Now wait a second. I told you that the prozos are going to read on the 14th. Where does it say that in the Mishnah? It's very nice that Berzon said it, but where is it in the Mishnah? It's in the next line of the Mishnah. Take a look at the next line. This is very strange, because chronologically, in terms of the Seder HaYomim, we're going backwards here, right? Kfarim Vayoros Gedolos, it's any city that's not walled, and certainly a village, is Barbasar. Isn't that very strange that he starts with the 15th, and then he goes back to the 14th. Jerry, have a great day. Thanks for joining us.
Maybe because you said Kedusha.
Again, yeah, it comes down to this Kvoda Shal Eretz Yisrael.
It could also be logical if the majority of the discussion is going to be about the first 3 days, that, okay, we're going to go 15, then 14, and now let's get to the 11, 12, 13.
Go.
That's the discussion.
You mean backwards, though.
Yeah, well, just because logically, we know rather than go 14, 15, and then 11, 12, 13, just to go in order because you know you're going to spend your
time. Excellent. That's a beautiful shot. The Ramban wants to quote this as a proof for the fact that it's all about Kavod Shel Eretz Yisrael. But you're right. I mean, it could be that the mission is working its way up from the 15th back to the 11th. Ella, Shakfarim Makdimim Yom HaKnisa. So when is Yom HaKnisa? It's a Monday or a Thursday, but it might be on the 13th, on the 12th, it could even be on the 11th. And all this is because of Takanas Ezra, as we said, because he established a Yom HaKnisa. So they came and they gathered from the small villages on the Yom HaKnisa, and if the Yom HaKnisa turns out to be 11, 12, or 13, that's when they're going to hear the Megillah. The Megillah might be read by one of the city slickers. I mean, that itself is going to be an issue, how they can hear the Megillah from someone who's not obligated in the Megillah. But let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Megillah Nikres B'Yudal. Yeah, what do you say, Yoshi?
A Ravim.
Right, but a Ravim only applies if I'm a Bar Chiyuva. Now, it's, we haven't gotten to Purim yet, so am I a Bar Chiyuva? You follow my point.
Unless the mitzvah is in hearing it, and that's why you need the minyan. Because it only works if you're doing it in the... If he's reading, he's not obligated, but he's reading it for the Tzibor, and the Tzibor is obligated, then that may be why you can't read it for just one person. But Tzibor, it's kind of like a...
So you're saying if it's a Chovas Tzibor, then anyone who's part of that Tzibor could read. It's like for example, let's say I'm holding one day of Yontif, and I'm in the Kutzlar, and I read the Torah on a Yontif Sheni minyan. So since Kriyas HaTorah is a Chiv Tzibor, then even though I'm not Chayim in this Kriya, I can still read, because I'm part of the Tzibor.
Right.
Fascinating.
So how does the Ravis work in life? If I make Kiddush on Shabbos every day, and I make for somebody else that didn't make Kiddush.
So you're a Bar Chiyuva. Yotza Motzi, but at least you're a Bar Chiyuva. Here, it's very odd, because the Bnei HaProzos on the 11th, 12th, and 13th are not even a Bar Chiyuva.
But I'm Bar Chiyuva now that I'm in the... Maybe I'm Bar Chiyuva because They're reading. But I'm there already. Am I a Bar Chiyuva? If I'm a Yerushalmi and I go outside and I spend the day outside of Yerushalayim, am I a Bar Chiyuva?
Right. That's a sign enough for your test.
What I'm saying is take that same concept and take that to the Kfarim, like the Yom HaKnisa,
right?
Maybe that makes me because I'm with them now, maybe that's part of that.
Even though I'm in the city, I'm not in the village.
But this is the Yom HaKnisa, and this is maybe that brings me into that fold.
View.
It may also be, this is, because let's say you're not a Bar Chiyuva, if let's say you can't make kiddush for somebody on Yom Tov Sheni, if you don't hold Yom Tov Sheni, you can't make kiddush for them, because it's not your obligation. But that may be why it's necessary to do it before rather than after, since you're not, if the person from the city hasn't, you know, they haven't, if it was after Purim and they already filled their obligation, then they couldn't read it at all for them. But the fact that it's before means they still haven't filled their obligation of...
Well, I would say, Eric, if I'm a prazi, then before Purim is like Tu B'Shvat for me. There's no Yantiv, there's no Mishteh, there's no Sivka, there's no Megillah, there's no Chiyuv at all. I'm a lav bar chiyuv. That's what I would have said. But Usher is saying that maybe since there's a general... See, that the big question we're going to have to get to, but that's... I don't know if we're going to discuss it here, because we... But elsewhere is the question of what is Yud Aleph Yud Beis and Gimel? Is it really the same mitzvah of Megillah that applies on Yud Aleph Tesvav, where it's a new takana unto itself? If it's part of the same mitzvah, then you could say that we integrate these 5 days into one time unit, and the chiyuv hovers over all 5 days. So even a ben krach could hear the Megillah from a ben ear, or vice versa. Could a ben krach read the Megillah on the 14th? You know, it could be, if we view this whole unit as one. You know, that I heard from my Rebbe many times that Yudalev and Tesvav is one unit. But he was never willing to say that Yudalev and Beis Gimel is part of that unit. That it doesn't really have membership in the club. In any event, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Pa'amim Bazel, Pa'amim Bazel, Lekam HaFarish V'yosos. Rashi already anticipates that we're going to have to figure out when, under what circumstances, we read the Megillah on which of these days. But then, the Mishnah goes on to say that Lo Pachos V'lo Yosef. Right, that was the opening line in the Mishnah. That these are the 5 days, nothing more, nothing less. So what's the Iker Chiddush here? Lo Pachos V'lo Yosef. Rashi says, Lo Pachos V'yud Aleph V'lo Yosef Mitesvav. I'm not sure what Rashi means over it. He's saying... I think he's saying not earlier than Yud Aleph and not later than Tesvav. So what's the thrust of the Chiddush here? Was there a Havamina that we would go earlier than Yud Aleph? Or was there a Havamina that we go later than Tesvav? Or is it both? So I just want to read to you a line here. You know, I use the Masifta because he gathers together an anthology of many Mefarshim. So he says... In the name of one of the Achronim, Levair Kavanas Rashi, he says, "Are you Efshel Levairish Kavanas Hatana V'lo Yoser? Hainu Kamosha Ein Makdimim Yoser Mishloshi Yomim LiYudalid Kmochein Ein LiAcher Yoser Mishloshi Yomim LiAcher Tezvah." Again, this comes back to that Halavina that there could be 3 days attached to Purim after Tezvah, and he says that since we already have a precedent for adding 3 days before Yudalid, we might have logically extrapolated that there should be a parallel extension beyond Tesvav, which would give us Tezayin, Yudzayin, and Yudches. L'chein mashmienu Rashi, therefore, by telling us that lo pachos v'lo yosef means lo pachos miyud aleph v'lo yosef mitesvav, Rashi wants to say here that Lo pachas miyud aleph means we're willing, excuse me, to accept 3 days of an extension before Purim, meaning before Yud Aleph. And now Rashi, Rashi takes an asnachta, a pause, and he say, well, let's apply the same logic of adding 3 days after Tesvav, and therefore Rashi wants to emphasize v'lo yosef. And Rashi's just explaining the Mishnah, but this is the way perhaps we can explain why the Mishnah emphasizes v'lo yosef. So again, just to summarize, we have a serious Havavina here, perhaps, that we would add 3 days after Teshuvah.
Why do you say Pachos Pidosher? Why not just say Lishnei? Why not say before and after? Because that language, it's almost like no less than 5 days.
Right. It sounds like the number here might be critical. You know, I don't know. Not sure. Okay, so the Mishnah says that Kfarim is Makdimim Liyom HaKnisa. Okay, that's what we touched upon earlier. Ketzat. Now let's see if we could quickly work out the mathematics. Chal Lios Arbasar Bisheni Bishabis. I'm meaning the word Bishabis here. So if the 14th is on a Monday, is Kfarim Vayoros Korim Bo Bayom. Then everybody's going to read on that Monday, because that Monday is not only the day of Purim for the Arim, for the Prozos, but it's also Yom HaKnisa. And Mukafas Choma Lemacha, they'll read on the 15th. So that would be a classical case where everything fits in smoothly. But Chal Lios B'Shlishi O Biravi. Now we have the 14th of Adar on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, neither of which are Yom HaKnisa, because Yom HaKnisa is only a Monday and a Thursday. It's HaKfar Makdimim LiYom HaKnisa. And when is that going to be? So that's going to be, let's say, it depends, right? So if the 14th is on a Tuesday, so then they're going to read on Monday, which would be the 13th. If, on the other hand, the 14th is on Yom Revi'i, they're being marked in 2 days, that's going to be on the 12th of Adar. So we have either the 12th or the 13th, depending upon whether your Dalet was on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Bayoros Gedolos, Korim Bo Bayom, they'll read on your Dalet, whether it's Tuesday or Wednesday. Mukafas Chamul Mocha on the following day, the 15th. Chal Lios Bechamishi. Oh, this is also very simple. If the 14th of Nisan coincides with a Thursday, which is Yom HaKnisa, so Korim Bayoros Gedolos, Korim Bo Bayom, everyone's going to read on the 14th, that's fine. And we're not going to be makdim back to Monday on behalf of the Kfarim because it's already Yom HaKnisa on Thursday. But Mukafos Choma, Lemacha, they'll read the Megillah on Friday. And there might be a Chiddush there as well, that there's no problem of Erev Shabbos. Chal Lios, Erev Shabbos, now the 14th is on a Friday. So that's very good, right? Kfarim, Makdim Liyom HaKnisa, they're going to read on Yud Gimel, which is a Thursday. Ayoros Gedolos and Mukafos Choma, Korim Bo Bayom. This is very interesting because now, even the Mukafos Choma, who should be reading on the 15th, but in this case, since they can't read it on the 15th because of what's called Gzeir Derabba, because it's Shabbos, so they're going to read together with the Prozos on the 14th. And all this is going to be based on the fact that we cannot add a day of Purim beyond the 15th. So we're in a no-win situation as far as the Kfarim. If they can't read it on Shabbos, they can't read it on Sunday because that's the 16th. They can only read it together with the Arim, with the Prozos, on the 14th. Chal Lios B'Shabbos. What if the 14th of Adar is on Shabbos? Is Kfarim Vayoros Gedolos Makdimim V'Karim Liyom HaKnisa Mukafos Chomu L'Mocha. So the, you know, the majority of the population, including the villagers and the city slickers, they'll read it on Thursday, which is the 14th, which is, excuse me, the 12th of Adar, correct? And the reason for that is because, for some reason, we want the Ayoros to read it. Okay, so this we have to come back to. Let me just read to you what he says here. He says, May Achavein Koronis HaMegillah B'Shabbos. So the 14th is on Shabbos. That's not an option. And the Mukafos Chom, we're going to read it on the 15th. So we want to get the Ayoros to read it earlier. And therefore we're going to be makdim. So this is a quiz question. When do we find that even the Prozim are going to be makdim and read it before the 14th? That's a case where Purim falls on the 15th. And finally, just to finish, and then we'll just to finish the Mishnah. So we, Chal Lios Achar HaShabbos. Okay, now we have the 14th of Adar on a Sunday. is Kfarim Makdimim Liyom HaKnisa. So the Kfarim, I'm going to read it on Thursday. Now Thursday is already 3 days before Sunday. So this is the greatest expansion. And that's going to be Yudal. This last case is the case of Yudal. We haven't gotten to Yudal until this case. Ayaris Gedolos Korimbo Bayom Kofas Kovalamocha. So the Prozim will read it on Sunday, no problem. And that's the 14th. And the Mukafos will read it on the 15th.
Yes. So today's calendar never comes out, right?
Can't what do you say?
The 14th can come out on Shabbos.
No.
The 14th can never come out on Shabbos, right? I know, but I'm saying...
Based on what? Lo Adu Rosh, you mean, all that stuff?
No, I think that's based on the Hillel Shetetik and the calendar.
Oh, Hillel Hashem.
Hillel Hashem is...
So let me wish everyone a Kodesh Tov.
We'll see you later.
I'm going to see, okay, great. If you'll see me later, I'm very happy.
If the question is, if it did, would we hold like this Mishnah and everyone outside of
I'm going to go over the